The body of Jesus risen from the dead. That's about as succinctly as I can put it. The body of Jesus risen from the dead, that's why we're here. In fact, you need both parts of that statement, the body of Jesus and risen from the dead. If either of those phrases, if either one of them are missing, then we would not be here right now. I mean, whether you're here as someone who's trusting Christ or you're here as someone who's not presently trusting in Christ, we have to know that. That if either of those were missing, either there is no body of Jesus or there is no risen from the dead, if either of them are missing, there is no point in this gathering right now. That's how important this week has been. In fact, since the first week of December, we have been on a journey from the first week of December to now, from his incarnation to his resurrection. That's what this has been about. My aim this morning is to draw out the significance of that using those two phrases, the body of Jesus and risen from the dead. From this passage in Mark, you have the body of Jesus first. In fact, the body of Jesus permeates the whole passage. First, you have the two Marys, or actually, this is at the end, you have the two Marys. They are on their way to the tomb where Jesus was laid, and they intend to anoint the body. We would have nothing to set our hope on, nothing for our faith. We need the other half of the statement, the body of Jesus, risen from the dead. The two Marys travel to the tomb, fully expecting to find the dead body of Jesus. They were going to anoint him, as we already said. They were worried, who's going to move the stone? But it was gone already. They enter the tomb still fully expecting to find the dead body of Jesus, but they find an angel. This fella dressed in white, just sitting right there to the right, waiting, knowing why they were there. You seek Jesus, crucified. See where they laid him. They weren't crazy. He was crucified. He was laid in the tomb. But that's the important thing to see here. The dead body of Jesus was. In between those two facts, crucifixion, see where they laid him, it's the most important declaration in the history of the world. Between those two sentences, but those two facts, he has risen. He is not here. He is risen. He is not here. Did you hear that? He is risen. He is not here. Do you understand? He is risen. He is not here. Do you know what that means? He has risen. He is not here. Well, if Christ has not risen, if he is here, then your faith is futile, as Paul says. You're still in your sins. You perish. You are pitied. But he has risen. He is not here. That means that Jesus is who he said he was. A God-man with power to take up his own life. He is risen. He is not here. That means that he has accomplished all that he came to do, doing all of the Father's will. He is risen. He is not here. That means that the Father has fully accepted what the Son has done, his sacrifice, raising him up. He is risen. He is not here. That means that the Spirit has vindicated him by raising him up. That Jesus is King, that Jesus is victorious Savior. New creation is broken in. It's come. By faith, you already have what God gives you through his Son. He has risen. He is not here. That means that you are new creation. You are no longer dead in your sins, forgiven, redeemed. It means that you are no longer separated from God. You are reconciled. It means that you are raised up and seated with him, that is Christ, at the right hand of God. It means that you have within you the living God because the Spirit of God dwells in you. It means that you have one who hears you. You have one who knows you. You have one who sees you. You have one who loves you. It means that you have hope of a future raised with him. It means that you can do what you were meant to do, which is to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, bringing all glory and honor and praise to him. He has risen. He is not here. That is what it means. The women, they are to carry the most important news in the history of the world to his disciples and Peter. Now, if you want proof that all of that I just said is true, don't miss this. The two Marys are sent out with the most important message in all of the world, in all history, to his disciples and Peter. They are carrying this message to the guys that walked with him for 3 years and then abandoned him, denied him. The risen Jesus says, tell them to go to Galilee. I'm going before them. And that they will see him just like he said. One commentator said, this is amazing. The first thing that Jesus does is gathers his disciples to give them what he has won for them. It shouldn't be lost on you that Jesus calls you to the same thing. Are you considering how familiar that sounded? Go, tell. It shouldn't be lost on you that Jesus meets you. He meets you. You see him by faith, just like he said you would, just as he promised. He meets you. You see him by faith here in worship, here in his word. He gathers you up as his people. He gives you all that he has won for you. And you look forward to a time when you will actually, with your eyes, see him just like he said you would. What do we do with this body of Jesus risen from the dead? You trust in him. If you're one here today that is not trusting in Christ, right now, he speaks to you. Right now, he is telling you, take hold of me. The call right now is to see this Jesus who has suffered and died and was raised and trust him. People of God, those of you that have trusted in Christ, you know, we see these truths already held out for us. You see this truth, the body of Jesus risen from the dead. You see it. It's proclaimed every week, right? In the bread and the cup. We do this in the supper. We proclaim this. Remember what gets said every week? You take the supper, and as often as we take it, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The dead body of Jesus, the resurrected body of Jesus, is held out for you. I know sometimes what it's like for you, it's like, you know, you're in a house. You know, when you're really struggling, you know, you're really tired, you're thinking, oh, I got so much to do. I don't know if I can really, you know, I don't know if I can really make it. And then someone says, well, hey, there's some food in the kitchen. You should go eat. And you say, oh, I believe in the food. And you just continue to walk around the house, and you're so hungry, and I'm tired, and I'm struggling, and it's hard. And somebody says, hey, you look hungry. There's food in the kitchen, and you say, I believe in the food. And you know, you got stuff to do in the backyard, and you're out there digging. And I don't know why you're digging. It just seems to be this strenuous. Just digging. I'm so hungry. I'm tired. And somebody says, hey, there's food in the kitchen. And you say, I believe in the food. Eat! People of God, eat. Eat. In this we don't hold the bloody dead body of Jesus. Thank goodness he's raised. What is held out for you in the supper are these signs and seals of all he's accomplished in his person. What's held out for you is him. He holds himself out and he says, eat. What do you do? You run to him as the one who died for you. That's what you do this morning. You take hold of him, Christ, the one who is raised for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, we thank you that you've sent your Son. We thank you that he has accomplished all that you sent him to do. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you completed the work. We thank you that you finished it for us. Lord, we ask now, we pray for those who do not know you as you are revealed in your Son. We pray that you would draw them to yourself by the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that for those here who do know you, that you would strengthen them, that you would renew in them a sense, a grip, an understanding of what you have accomplished for them in your Son. Lord Jesus, feed us, strengthen us, draw us to yourself. In Christ's name, amen.